In the absence of a box office top 10, we've been asking you to send in your ideas for top 10s, but also asking you to fill in the blanks. So we're not saying, but I don't know, favourite romantic films made in Quebec. We don't want that. Well, you can do that, but then you fill in the 10. Okay, so that's the general idea. So the only exception is this week, when we came up with the idea for Mark to tell us about the films that have scared him that aren't The Exorcist. So obviously this is a very personal take. Very clearly, you're not saying these are the scariest films ever made.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is these are the films that scared me, and you know, whether rightly or wrongly, that they gave me the heebie. So in no particular, but bear in mind, there are other films that have scared me, but somebody
please
said,
don't
you know,
say in no particular order, because it's a top 10. So it's in
okay,
a particular
fine.
Order.
In a very 10. Particular, okay. At Thank number you. 10, Buried. Now, Buried really, because I am terrified of confined spaces, and Buried is a film by Rodrigo Cortez starring Ryan Reynolds, basically, and it's a story of a man in a coffin which has been buried, and as the title suggests, and I when the film started, I mean I kind of knew in advance what the story was about, and the title gives a lot of it away, but when the film started, I thought I'm gonna have to leave, because I cannot stay with this for 90 minutes, and I did, and I thought Ryan Reynolds' acting was really terrific. We have a brief clip of the kind of rising panic that you get from Buried. Here we go.
Paul, it's Brennan.
Yeah.
Are you there, Paul?
I'm here.
We're coming for you now, you hear me? We know where you are.
You're coming.
We are, Paul. We're almost there now.
There you go.
Coalition forces picked up a Shiite insurgent just outside of Baghdad. Said he knew where an American was buried alive. He agreed to show us where if we let him go.
They're coming for me.
We are practically there already.
You have to hurry.
We are, Paul.
You have to hurry. This is sad.
You just hang in there 3 more minutes. This will all be over soon, I promise, Paul.
Yeah, it won't all be over soon. The only thing
everyone
he has...
would say, 3 minutes? Don't think so.
Yeah, the only thing he has is a cell phone, which is slowly running out of juice. And so that really, really gave me the heebies. Also, because it's a single idea that is executed particularly well. Number 9, Nosferatu. Now, I know that Nosferatu is a classic, which everyone's seen. This is the 1922 Murnau son. But the reason that I chose it for this thing is that there's an image in it, a sequence of the shadowy figure going up the wall as he ascends the stairs and then grasping at a heart. And there is something about the shadow going up the stairs that when I saw it when I was a kid, because it was on television or something, I don't know how I saw it. In fact, I hadn't seen the whole film. I only saw that scene, and it scared the living daylights out of me. And I know that it's an old silent film and blah, 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 but it really, really scared me at the time, and it's really stuck with me. At number 8.
Hang on, before we move on. We have some comments. We have some emails about your top 10 from other people who have seen these things. Nosferatu. Paul Marsh says most people won't have seen Nosferatu, but it truly is a horrifying experience if you watch it in the right environment. Rolo Treadway says Nosferatu was the first silent film I ever saw. It was not merely wonderful, but also educated me about the extraordinary heights of 20s filmmaking. In a small yet significant way, it changed my life. Very few films have had such an influence on me. Everybody should see it. You shouldn't watch it as a child, though, presumably, even though you did.
I saw a scene from it as a child, and it really, really scared me. And then I saw the whole film later on. But I mean, I think it is just one of those things that it is, you know, I encountered it as a kid, and it just stuck with me. It just frightened the living daylights out of me. And then when I saw the whole film, I just thought it was kind of beautiful and glorious. And you know, just the way it looks is so fantastic. And I still think to this day you can watch it. But that scene of the image of the shadow going up the stairs still creeps me right out.
Before you do number 8, can I just say, considering you hate in confined spaces, why are you broadcasting from a very, very small cupboard under the stairs?
Because it's the only room in the house that I'm allowed to broadcast
from. Aren't you scared all the time?
No, this is fine. I could live with this. This is okay. But I mean, no, it's, you know, it's very small spaces. Anything smaller than a lift is what gets to me.
All right. Okay. Number 8.
Okay, so The Witch. Now, I know that the thing that everyone said about The Witch was, it's not a horror film. So it was marketed as a horror film. And then a lot of people said it's not a horror film. It's actually something which is much more to do with atmosphere. Yes, it is. But it is one of those films which really stuck with me. And I saw it a couple of times. And both times, what I noticed was that it was the day after or the evening after having seen it that certain images from it really, really stuck with me. The whole thing about the demonic goat, Black Phillip, rearing up on his back legs for some reason absolutely got under my skin. And the image of the trees, the fact that I think it's shot in 1.66, and there's something about the way in which it looks at trees, there's something about the atmosphere of it that after watching it, images from it kept coming back to me and really, really got under my skin. So The Witch is number six.
Hang on, where people want to chip in with this. Dr. Kate Gath, The Witch is wonderfully sinister and does 17th century dialogue brilliantly. I studied literature of the era for my PhD, so feel semi-qualified to say this. Andrew Donlan, love The Witch, but I can see it as a coming-of-age story more than a horror story, although obviously it is a horror story. A rebellion against your parents' view of what they want your life to be. Set in the 70s, it would have been Bowie or punk instead of witchcraft. And someone who seems to want to be called Brutal Knowledge... All right, Mr. Knowledge. I bet it's Mr. Knowledge. The Witch should have a Hall of Fame horror spot akin to The Shining, The Exorcist, Halloween, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's the only 10 out of 10 horror film this century.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's great to hear other people sort of embrace it as much as that, because I just thought it was fantastic. Okay, on to number seven.
Number seven, yeah.
The Descent. Now, this is one of the films that I mentioned before, and I said, you know, the thing about getting stuck in small spaces really, really scares me. So this is basically people in, you know, confined spaces under the ground. Really, really freaky, really, really scary. Here's a clip. You get the general idea. The great thing about this is, so it's directed by Neil Marshall, and I was convinced that they had shot it in caves. Of course, they hadn't at all, due to the brilliant production design by Simon Bowles. The caves were sets, and I think one of the things that impressed me the most about it was I was really, really claustrophobic watching it. And Simon Bowles later told me that apparently what they would do is that they would shoot in the set and then they'd go to the editing console next door to see what the shots looked like. And he said, and it was, you know, the claustrophobia of looking at the shots was really something. Because when you saw what the sets were like, obviously the sets are open because they're sets. I just think The Descent is terrific and just a demonstration of what you can do with a really, really low budget.
Tokemeyer says The Descent is the first and only film to elicit an audible yelp or a scream from me in the cinema. And Sporty says The Descent is all the scarier for lulling the viewer into a false sense of security that is a standard claustrophobic horror. When halfway through it pulled back the curtain, I uncontrollably birdsonged at the TV. Number seven. Number six, then.
And it becomes something else. Okay, so number six is Audition, which is the Mika Takashi film. And I've said, tell this story before. The first time I saw Audition, I saw it at the Edinburgh Film Festival with Trevor Johnson, who's a friend of mine. And we went to see it. It was an early morning screening. And all we knew about it was that it was Japanese. And the film starts out looking like a weird rom-com about a guy who can't get a girlfriend, who decides to do auditions, you know, like I think they're auditions for a television program. But in fact, what he's doing, he's auditioning to find a girlfriend. And it starts off like this. And then it suddenly goes absolutely crazy, go nuts. We were trying to choose the best clip from Audition. It's very brief, but if you've seen Audition, here's the moment. It is impossible. It's impossible to explain unless you've seen it why it is that is so terrifying. When that film came out, Alexander Walker, who was then the film critic of the Evening Standard, was so appalled by it that he suggested that the Metropolitan Police should investigate the circumstances of its creation. That's how much it freaked him out.
Just one email on this from Ben Smith. I think this says everything. I watched Audition on a blind recommendation from a former colleague. My then partner came home to find all the lights in the flat on and me watching Toy Story. It's quite something.
Brilliant. Okay, on to number five, a regular appearance here. Knock. And when I reviewed it, I said the reason it's that kind of you know, the Monsters Inc. thing. We scare because we care. I just remember Emmy sending us that fantastic email that she was out and about walking about in the wilds, and she was listening to the podcast, and she heard us going duck. And it just, yeah, exactly. That is a film that really got under my skin. And because you care about the characters, that's why it's scary.
Okay, let's rattle on number four.
So Ani Barber, I remember William Friedkin, who's the director of The Exorcist, saying famously when he was asked by an interview when the Exorcist first came out, what scared him? And he said, there is a film, a Japanese film by Kaneto Shindo called Ani Barber. And he said, this film will scare the birdsong out of you. So I immediately went to try and seek it out. I finally saw it at the Scala. And it's various different titles: Devil Woman, The Demon, The Hole. Its inspiration is from a Shin Buddhist parable about a woman who dons a terrifying face mask that then weds itself to her face. But the most remarkable thing about the film is that it's shot amid this kind of giant Suzuki grass of this remote swampland. And it's the look of the giant grasses and the sound of the wind blowing through the grass that is the most remarkable thing. So here for the clip is the sound of the wind in the grass.
Well, I've got this from Electric Adam, who says, Ani Barber is the greatest reed-based horror ever. The windy wind sounds made me more panicked than the sand from the Woman of the Dunes.
There we go.
And also, this is late night BBC Two, sometime in the late 70s, early 80s, channel surfing, stumbled upon Ani Barber, transfixed and terrified in equal measure, remains in my top 10 of all movies across all genres to this day. Number three.
Number three is The Haunting, the original Haunting, not the remake, the 1963 directed by Robert Wise. I love The Haunting of Hill House, the Shirley Jackson novel, and it's very hard to imagine it being brought successfully to the screen. But what the Wise version does is it's that classic, this is how you do a chiller. It's all to do with understatement. It's all to do with what's suggested. It's all to do with what you don't see. And it's all to do with kind of psychological tension. And I just think it's a masterpiece. When we were doing Secrets of Cinema, went back and watched it again, and there is not a foot out of place in that film.
These are all the movies that have scared Mark that aren't The Exorcist. Number two.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it is pure terror. When it first came out, it was famously banned by the BBFC. You could only see it with, I saw it with a GLCX at the Phoenix in East Finchley at a late night screening. I may have said this before, but I took my then girlfriend, and about 20 minutes into it, she said, this is horrible, I'm leaving. And I said, okay, fine. And she said, are you not coming with me? And I said, no, I want to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And that kind of set things.
That's the end of that.
It laid a pattern. But it is true. It is, you know, John Carpenter said that film rides the edge of horror. He said after he saw it, he went to see it, and he went all the way through it, rode the very edge of horror. And he said, and I went home and I slept like a baby because it pacified my soul. And I think that's the most brilliant description of how it works.
Balthazar Hobson on his email, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was astonishing when I watched my dad's VHS as a kid. The simple, sudden finality of the violence, Leatherface's workmanlike demeanor, no camp, just butchery. This is not a film to be shown to kids, I would suggest. Number one.
And number one, the scariest film I have ever seen, at least the moment in it that scared me the most, is George Slizer's Spoorloose, The Vanishing. The original version of The Vanishing, not the terrible remake which Slizer then made and, you know, destroyed his original. And not least because where we began with Buried, I don't want to be spoiling the plot of The Vanishing, but The Vanishing leads to an end scene that had me in a state of absolute abject panic. And the second most terrifying thing about it was a 12 certificate, which meant that people, yeah. The Vanishing had a 12 certificate, and the BBFC, there was this whole thing about this. The BBFC said, the thing is, there's nothing in it that we can cut. Technically, there's nothing in it that's going to, it had a 12 certificate, and it scared the life out of me. And I remember interviewing George Slizer about it and asking him about the film, and even hearing him talk about it really freaked me out. At the end of The Vanishing is one of probably the scariest thing outside of The Exorcist that I have ever seen.
Okay, I'm going to read an email here, and from Scott Pride, and if it's if it oversteps the mark, then you say so. We'll know. Can understand fully why Spoilers would be every claustrophobe's worst nightmare. A devastating ending is made worse by the sense of inevitability and the degree to which the hero and audience has walked freely into the situation, quietly devastating. Too much, Mark, or okay?
No, that's absolutely fine. And when I interviewed Slizer, he said to me, the thing is that what happens in the end is explained to you at the beginning, because the novel it's based on is called The Golden Egg. And at the beginning of the novel, Saskia describes the golden egg. And as he holds the match at the very end of the film, the shape of the match is the golden egg that she had dreamed of. It just makes it scarier.